This video is dedicated by the Huberfeld family in memory of Pinchas ben Moshe Aaron Huberfeld, Alav HaShalom.
Hello and welcome to Jewish History in Daf Yomi. So today's Daf has a statement from Rabbi Bena'a, Kol ha'osek b'Torah shelo lishma, nasi lo sam ha'maves. Anyone who engages in the study of Torah for the wrong reasons, like not for the sake of heaven, it will become a poison of death for them, or a death potion for them. So when I read this, I could not help but think about Johannes Eisenmenger, an incredibly bizarre and utterly dedicated anti-Semite from the late 17th and early 18th century. We spoke about him on Nida Yud Aleph, so if you want, you can go back there and get a little bit more background. But just in brief, this man Eisenmenger, we don't know exactly why, but he posed as a convert to Judaism, and he actually successfully converted with a rabbi in Amsterdam to Judaism, and he lived for, I think it was 19 years as a convert, and he went through Shas, he went through Midrashim, he went through all kinds of rabbinic literature. He really knew rabbinic literature very well, and then suddenly he came out, surprising everyone. He was married, he had children, the whole deal. He came out with this massive brick of a work, a huge 2,000-page complete indictment of Judaism. Here you can see a picture of it, called Entdecktes Judentum, which means Judaism unmasked. Now, this was just a horrible, libelous, slanderous, nasty take on Judaism. And what he did, which was unusual and was innovative, unfortunately, in the dark history of antisemitism, is he went through all of Shas and all of Poskim and whatever he could find. And whenever he found any negative statement about non-Jews or any statement that could be made to look negative about Jews and what they thought, he took it and he placed it into this book and he translated it into German. Now, contrary to popular opinion, he did a fairly good job of translating those passages. And he, in fact, collected all of the nasty bits anywhere in Shas. And of course, you know, if you've learned with me up until Tynus, you certainly know that there are the occasional passages that would certainly not be politically correct to share in a larger audience today. But the, I don't want to say three things about why that might be, but they were, may not have been translated improperly, but they were definitely ripped out of context and given the worst possible interpretation because he had this agenda of really wanting to say something terrible about the Jews. Now, in Nida 11, I said a little bit more about what happened to Eisenmenger and what happened to this book and so on. There were attempts to ban it. It was published elsewhere and so on. But nevertheless, he essentially pioneered much of modern anti-Semitism by providing this massive source book of nasty things to say. Now, why are there nasty things occasionally in the Talmud? You'll have to ask your Magid Shir for some greater sort of halakha guidance on it. But in my humble opinion, I'd like to just say three contextual matters. The first is we should realize that, of course, the Talmud is, it's the record of about 2,000 Tanaim and Amoraim. There are non-Jews in the text, the women, slaves, different nationalities, different ethnicities, different religions. There's like so many texts crammed into the Gemara. And although there's a hashkafic issue of like, what is the level of sanctity of the text of the Gemara? Because it clearly is something that we regard as being holy, but we don't regard it as holy in the same way that we regard the Torah scroll as holy. The Torah scroll is given by God at Sinai, according to traditional Jewish thought. The Gemara is an entirely different kind of phenomenon because it involves much more human interaction. So you can work out your hashkafic position on that, speak with your Magid Shir and so on. The second thing we should remember is, so in that first thing, if you have so many voices speaking, you will find some statements that are jarring in one particular historical context. If you were to drop a microphone into, for example, Congress, and then you were to cherry pick every single negative statement that any congressperson said, you could probably compile a pretty nasty book, much nastier than Judaism Unmasked, but nevertheless. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that we should understand that the conversation of the Gemara in my humble opinion, was always intended to be an internal family conversation. It was not necessarily intended for something that the broad masses should be studying. And that means, like, if you're discussing things with your family around your own table, you may, you know, not necessarily show the same word choices that you might choose when you're speaking to a much larger group of people that you don't know. You don't necessarily have the same kind of thinking that each individual word is going to last forever and is meant to be translated to English and spoken about on the web and things like that. And the third thing is we should remember where this fits in the discourse of power. The Jews, overwhelmingly for most of their history, have been in minority statuses. They've frequently been persecuted, and they sometimes harbor resentment for the maltreatment that they receive in their historical circumstances. So it's not surprising to hear these kinds of negative statements if you were, for example, to drop a microphone, not into Congress, but let's say into an African-American church after services, and the parishioners are all getting together and talking about their week and their days, they might say some nasty things about the outside world that is a reflection of their historical persecution as well. Now, I've given you kind of a more historical approach to why those statements exist. There are definitely different hashkafic and religious approaches to it, but it puts in context how Eisenmenger was able to create such a massive book out of the Talmud, which is so fascinating and wonderful and enlightening and, you know, a huge boon for Jews and even for all of human civilization. That said, why did I include this discussion here? Certainly because Eisenmenger was this total sociopath who could devote 19 years of his life and keep his real intention secret from his wife and his community and so on. But what happened is, as soon as he published this, and as soon as the controversy started roiling, he died young of a stroke. So it's like, you see the illustration of Rabbi Benah right here. Anyone who engages in the study of Torah for the wrong reasons, it will become a death potion for them. Okay, sorry for that long discussion. Have a look in Nida 11, where I talk about this with a little bit broader scope. I hope this illuminated your daf, and I wish you atzlacha in your learning.